This morning, we share in the last hymn, or the last psalm in our series on psalms, Psalm 150. It's the psalm that closes the book of Psalms. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his surpassing greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with clanging cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, over the past few weeks, we've heard prayers of lament. We have heard psalms for asking for judgment. We have heard prayers of thanksgiving. And this, our last psalm, is the psalm that closes the prayer book, and it is the psalm that is undoubtedly a prayer of praise. I don't think there's any question what the psalmist is trying to get at in this prayer. It's a song of praise. It's a song that invites us to lift our voices in praise to the one who has created all things, to the one who gave breath to all things, who knew us in our mother's womb, who we trust even in our darkest hour, who judges the world with justice, with love, and with mercy. This psalm invites us to praise, to sing, to reveal our love for God, for all that God has done for us and for all creation. It's a song born out of love, born on the wings of grace and remembrance. It's a love song that cries out for hope with love, thanksgiving. It's a psalm that tells us in no uncertain terms that this is how we praise. If there's something that we all think we know how to do, is we all think we know how to worship. Think about it. You don't have to think about what you do in worship, do you? You come. We sing hymns. We pray. We share communion. We all know how to offer praise. It's the simplest thing that we can do. How hard is it? We sing these wonderful songs to God. We offer our voices, at least most of us do, in song. I can tell you, when I am up here, I can see who is not singing with us in the hymns. I'm watching. Some of us who don't sing offer praise in other ways. We pray, or we write poems, or we create art, or we share our testimony with others. But if we listen to this psalm, we hear how the psalmist thinks we should be praising God. Listen again to what the psalmist writes. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with clanging cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. What the psalmist is doing is urging us to praise God not just with pleasant song, with quaint music, with poems, or with art. The psalmist is urging us to make some noise. Have you ever been to a football game or a hockey game or a baseball game, and you're in the stadium and they've got this thing going around on the scoreboard that says, make some noise? That's what the psalmist is doing. Make some noise. Make noise to God, telling us that when we worship God, the God that we love, the God that deserves to have God's name and praises splashed across the world, it's to be loud and noisy and never ending. For the psalmist, it isn't simply enough for us to praise God. We must praise God with joy and happiness and thanksgiving, with as much racket as possible so that everybody knows that we love God. with everything that we have, with everything that we are, with the whole of our being. It's not simply enough to sing the wonderful hymns that we sing. It's not enough to write poetry or to have these wonderful works of art that we give in honor of God. What we need more than that is we need to have songs with trumpets. There needs to be the cymbals. There needs to be dancing. And I'm serious about this. We all need to get up and boogie sometime and worship. There needs to be joyful acts of love for God. I want you to do something with me for a minute. I want you to close your eyes and imagine what it would be like if you walked up to the church. You're running late for worship. That never happens. I know it doesn't. You're running late for worship, and you're walking up to the church. You've parked your car, and you hear music, singing, loud enough that you can hear it all the way out in the parking lot. What if you entered our foyer and were blown away by the noise of voices crying out in praise to God with guitars and drums and keyboards and all sorts of other things that are not a concert, but played in wonderful joy to God? What if you came in and you're walking into the sanctuary and you see people dancing in the aisles and your pastor up front leading the choir got the hands going and everything else is loud and joyful? You might think that one of us got into communion wine instead of grape juice. There's one thing I miss about the Lutheran church is communion wine. What if you came in, you saw that? You might just turn tail and run. That's not how we worship. That isn't what we think about as worship. It's not how we want to worship. Might be how an African-American church will worship. That's okay for them, but it's not how we want to worship. We want quiet and subdued. But the psalmist is telling us over and over again in this psalm that we are to be loud, to be raucous, to lift a joyful noise to the Lord. And the psalmist is telling us that to praise God, it's a full body experience. We dance, we sing, we play instruments, regardless of what our friends at the Church of Christ might think. We bang the gong, we clash the cymbals, we make noise. And we don't stand quietly while the rest of the congregation sings or plays or dances. We are called to praise God with our whole being and with everything else that has breath. I like that last line of the psalm. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. It makes for a really good worship song, or three or four really good worship songs. Everything that praises, everything that has breath, is joined together to praise God. Everything that is created, everything that breathes in and out so that it may have life, joins together in praise of God. Think for a moment for what that might mean. Everything that has breath, every human being, every animal, every fish, every tree, because you know that trees and plants breathe in carbon monoxide so we can get oxygen. Everything that breathes, we all join with creation to merge our praise into a wonderful cacophony of sound, to raise the roof to praise God. The praise of the psalmist is calling for us might seem outrageous. It might seem loud, obnoxious, but shouldn't we want to praise God in that way? Shouldn't we want to offer everything that we have to honor the God who has breathed life into us, who knew us in our mother's womb, who is with us through life's ups and downs, who has loved us enough to enter into time and space to reveal love, grace, and hope to us on a cross? What else are we supposed to do? How else are we supposed to praise? This psalm was interpreted by the late great jazz musician Duke Ellington in 1968 in a sacred concert that he gave in Spain. And as I was listening to Praise God and Dance, it was amazing to me what Duke Ellington did. The song begins with this wonderful sacred piece and this glorious soprano voice singing the last lines of the psalm, praise God with trumpet sound, praise God with lute and harp. And you have this that happens a little over and over a couple of verses. And then Duke gets into it. And there's trumpets, and there's organ, and there's keyboard, and there's drums, and there's guitars, and there's this wonderful choir behind it singing, praise God, and dance. And I can just imagine people in this old Catholic church that this concert was given in standing up and getting down with Duke and lifting their hands and singing praise to God, because it's not about the music and it's not about the praise that is written in the words. It's about a full body experience of worshiping this God who has given us everything that we could ever ask for, who has laid down his life so that we might live. The closing prayer of the Psalms, I think, is a fitting ending to a book that has taught us to pray in ways that remind us that God is always with us. We don't have to pray the words that the psalmists do, but they offer a way to pray, a method, if you will, that has lasted millennia through the temple, through synagogues, through churches, through exile, through torment, through joy, and through pain. These are indeed songs of praise, the prayers of God's people, now and forever. Amen. Now may the blessing of God be with you, the love of Jesus fill you, and the power of the Holy Spirit sustain you, now and forevermore. Amen.